Kimberly Brophy is a 27-year-old entrepreneur from Dublin, Ireland. She began her journey in the fashion industry as the founder of Love Kimberly. After working at her family manufacturing business for 10 years, she decided to set up Love Kimberly and begin her own path. At the end of 2019, she was faced with many issues arising due to COVID, and it pushed her to reinvent her business and pursue something she is passionate about, tanning. On November 30th, she officially launched her luxurious self-tanning mousse, Naked Glow, with many ups, downs, and lessons learned along the way. Actually being able to record an episode with Kimberly Brophy was so rewarding for me. Finally being able to say that Femme Radio is international is so incredible. I mean, who would have really thought that 3 years ago, when I just sat down with the microphone interviewing my friend, that I would eventually grow to be able to interview people on different continents? I mean, sometimes you really just have to pause and look at your path and see how far you've actually come. So I was put in contact with Kimberly by a mutual friend of mine, Rachel, who travels a lot for work from New York to Dublin. She actually came across Love Kimberly, Kimberly's fashion business. And Rachel said to me, hey, I just came across this female entrepreneur who's running this fashion business, and I follow her on social media, and she just seems to be incredibly driven, and I think that you should reach out to her and interview her. I think she would be a great asset to your show. And truth be told, I mean, I slid right into the DMs, as I typically do, right? I've talked about that on other episodes. I have no shame in my game when it comes to getting people to come on the show. But after a few scheduling conflicts, you know, we were trying to wait for her to be able to come to the US because she had a few planned trips, and I wanted to meet her and really sit in a room and interview her. And it just wasn't working out, right? The schedules weren't working out. And it all just goes to show that everything happens for a reason, because being able to sit with Kimberly in October this year, obviously virtual, it really helped her be in this place where she was so focused, so driven. There really are no words for the advice that she was able to provide for people that are starting a business. I mean, we talk about the manufacturing of the product, the testing that went into the product, how long she was thinking about doing something like this. She was able to turn something that could have been so negative into such a positive thing. It helped her switch gears with her business and really see things in a different light. And you get that all in this episode. She shares everything with us. So thank you to Kimberly for coming on. Thank you all for listening. And I know this is going to be a good one, so I look forward to hearing your feedback. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, share the episode with your friends. And yeah, send me a DM. Let me know what you guys think. Without further ado, here is Kimberly Brophy on our first guest episode of 2021. Hey, Femme Radio, this is your host, Melissa Goncalves, and I am here with Kimberly Brophy. Hi, Kimberly.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited because we've been trying to get this episode scheduled and recorded for so long, and then so many things have happened in between the last year. So I'm happy to catch up with you and finally have you on.
I know, it's crazy. I think we were meant to record. I was meant to come out to New York in March, wasn't I? And we were meant to record face to face together. It's been crazy though, with COVID and everything else. It's been a wild year for all of us, I suppose.
Exactly. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and what do you do?
Okay, so my name is Kimberly Brophy. I am 27 years of age. I'm from Dublin in Ireland, and I am currently the owner of an online women's boutique, which is called Love Kimberly. And I have recently just set up a cosmetics company, and I also am an account manager for my family business. So I do a lot of things at the present moment.
Pretty busy. You wear a lot of hats.
That's it. Crazy busy at the moment.
So I love this because you are, if I remember correctly, you are the first international guest on Femme Radio.
Wow, that's crazy.
So it's a pretty, I'm really excited to have you on. And I love being able to share with our listeners something that's not American based, right? Something that is overseas and and just learning more about business in that regard. So can you share some insights into your childhood? What were some things that you wanted to be? Because of course, right now you're doing so many things. You're so busy, but what was a young Kimberly thinking?
You know, it's crazy because I'm doing obviously fashion and beauty at the moment, but growing up, I was a complete tomboy until I was like 15. Like the thoughts of girly clothes and beauty absolutely terrified me in that regard. You know, I actually had a unibrow up until I was about 14. I had no regard for beauty or girly stuff at all. So I've done a complete 180. But yeah, for like when I was young, I firstly kind of wanted to be a vet. That was kind of what I wanted to do. I loved animals. I thought that was going to be my job. You know, when you're younger, you think that's what you're going to do. And then I was bitten by a dog when I was away on a family holiday in Thailand. And I had the big ordeal of having to go to a hospital and all that kind of jazz. So that swiftly changed my mind because I was terrified then of dogs. Right. I was absolutely terrified. So I was like, I'm never going to be able to be a vet. And then I kind of wanted to do something in law. I was always so obsessed with the likes of Criminal Minds, you know, mm-hmm. CSI, Law and Order. But I never pursued that route either. And then obviously when I went into secondary school and I started hanging around with girls and I kind of grew up and became more girly and very much interested in clothes and fashion and obviously beauty. So that kind of changed my mind. But yeah, up until I was about 15, it was all football jerseys and bikes and, you know, hanging out with the boys in the estate and going on our bikes in the park and stuff. But yeah, that's kind of where I was at when I was a child.
Isn't that so funny? I would love to see a picture of you with a unibrow at 14.
I'm sure I could get you a picture, no problem. But I think it would be quite scary. It's a total, like, it's just like madness how much I've changed over the years. I know we all do, but my God, I've done a complete 180.
Did you end up going to college? What was the trajectory of your education after that?
Yeah, so obviously I did go to college. Like when I finished secondary school, so I think that's called high school. I was still quite young, you know, I was 17 and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I decided to do a PLC here, which is kind of the equivalent of an undercredited course in America, I think. Okay. So like it's not like you don't get a degree from it. You just kind of get a certificate.
Okay, yep,
so,
yep.
Yeah, so I decided to go there and do a year-long course in fashion practice. So that's kind of where I kind of came into myself in terms of the fashion industry. So I got to study and explore a few different topics in regards to the fashion industry, and I really did love it. And I also got to do a work placement with Brendan Courtney and Sonia Lennon. They would be two of Ireland's biggest fashion designers at the moment.
Wow.
But back then when I done my work placement with them, they were just stylists. They weren't as big as they are now. And they were actually, I done my placement on a TV show. So it was about styling people in Ireland who, you know, basically didn't really know much about their sense of style. So I think it was called Off the Rails. So yeah, I got to work with them and I absolutely loved it. Like it was an unpaid job, but it was such an amazing experience for me. And it was one of them kind of jobs where I loved going in every day and absolutely hated going home. So it was, you know, the saying, like when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. I really felt like that was very evident in that job. So I absolutely loved that. But I was only working with them for, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. It wasn't really long. But yeah, I finished my course anyway in fashion industry practice and I got my certificate. And I kind of realized then I wanted to do, after working on the show with the guys and stylists and stuff, I realized I kind of wanted to do something in marketing and event management and kind of work alongside more events in the fashion industry and kind of like, you know, learn how to market myself better. And then obviously if I ever had a business, how, or worked for a business in terms of the marketing side of things, it was so big at the time, like marketing was such a huge, and it still is such a huge thing, but influencer marketing wasn't as big back then. So it was all kind of like digital marketing and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, I went then from doing that PLC to going into a college degree, a bachelor's degree in a college in Dublin, a private college called Dublin Business School. And I took a degree in marketing and event management. And that was 3 years long and it was definitely very testing. Like I didn't love it. But my parents had paid so much money for it that I kind of felt like I had to, you know, pursue it and, you know, complete it. So But I definitely met amazing people, and I did complete it. I got a really good score on my degree, and I ended up coming out there with a degree. But the only thing about that, going to college in Dublin, is, like, you know, I do feel like when you leave college, there's not ample amount of jobs for what I studied. So I'd done a degree in marketing and event management, but, like, no firms wanted to hire people that just came out, like graduates who came out of school, or out of college, should I say, without having experience. But how do you get experience with not being able to get into a job, you know? So it was quite stressful for me, and I just thought, God, have I wasted 3 years of my life studying a degree that I can't really seem to find, you know, a job in, and I couldn't secure a job in the field at all. But it was wild. And during that 3 years, I was also working full time as well, like in Brown Thomas, which is, it's kind of the equivalent to Macy's over in America, I suppose. But that was quite a busy store. It was quite a busy job. So it was just a crazy time for me. So I felt the stresses of a full-time job in, you know, the fashion world, which was obviously in Brown Thomas, working as, like, sales assistant. And then I moved up to a managerial position. So it was just wild. And then not being able to secure a job in the, like, job I really wanted, like, you know, in an industry like marketing and stuff like that. So it was very testing, and just college was crazy time for me. I'm so happy to be out of it, to be honest.
I hear you. I actually was just talking to someone who I interviewed recently, and that was sort of her similar sentiment, right? Where you go to college, you're doing everything right. You know, you're working, you're getting the experience. It might not be the exact experience that you're, you know, ultimately trying to get a job in, but you're still getting work experience. And then you graduate and they're like, oh, we want to pay you X amount of dollars, but we need all of this experience. And it's like, how am I supposed to get all of this experience if you're not giving me a chance?
I feel like in Ireland, it's a lot about who you know rather than what you know. I don't know if it's the same in America, but I just feel like over here it is that, because there is people who get jobs ahead of you that don't have the experience, you know, when you might have the experience. So it's just kind of one of them things, I suppose.
Oh, it's definitely like that here. And it's funny because now, especially, we have a lot of, you know, big companies and corporations who are suddenly realizing that they have no diverse hires, right? They have a huge chunk of the percentage of their employees are of the same ethnicities and things like that, or either, you know, mostly male. Well, when you're only hiring who you know, you're not going to find the most diverse candidates and the ones who think differently and who come from different backgrounds. So I feel like there's going to be a huge shift in that now, where they're going to start looking more externally for people, you know? And I think that it was always something that frustrated me. I couldn't get an internship to save my life in college. And then I got one lucky break and they ended up hiring me full time. And I still, to this day, am counting my blessings that ever happened.
Oh, it is. It's so hard. Like, I was lucky in my course, I didn't need to do an internship. It was kind of, a lot of the work was done internal in the college. You know, we did go to certain events and we did help out and we done a lot of volunteering, but there was no internship. Now, when you did finish the college, or the course, should I say, you did have a chance to secure, like, you know, an internship afterwards. But again, there was just nothing that I really loved. And I felt like there's no point to me going to work with companies that I knew that I wouldn't really, like, you know, gel well with. And something that I didn't really interested in, because I feel like you have to be interested in to do really good work, you know, like to actually put your heart and soul into it. So, yeah, I didn't take up any of the internships that came available. I just continued to work myself. That was kind of it with college.
You know, it's interesting because I always felt, because I'm very much like you, where I can't really do anything unless my heart and soul is invested into it. It almost, you know, just like kills my mental health if I'm not emotionally invested in something. But I always thought everybody was like that. And I had conversations with, you know, friends of mine who are like, obviously I don't love my job, but, you know, I got to do it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to adapt to this mentality, but it's tough.
Yeah, I know. I feel like over the years, there's been a few jobs that I've loved, a few jobs that I've hated. And that's kind of made me realize why I want to be my own boss and why I want to work for myself and not be taking orders from anybody else. And that's not really like, it's not, I don't have a problem with taking orders from other people, but I just felt like being my own boss, I, you know, I can create the job and the journey I want to be on, you know?
Absolutely. So one thing I felt that was so unique when we first spoke, you know, months and months ago, was your experience working with your family and how you were ultimately able to use those networks to help build your brand. Can you share some pieces of advice with our listeners about one, working with, you know, family, but also, you know, understanding where you're at in the place that you're in and how beneficial it could be towards a future role?
Of course. Yeah. So yes, I have worked for my parents' company and I still do 2 days a week. But I started working there when I was 15 or 16. So it's always like working has always been in, like, you know, my blood, I suppose. Right. Like it's been something I've done from such a young age. You know, I first started there at summer holidays and then I went on and done holidays from school, you know, like Easter holidays or Christmas holidays. But I think in 2017, my dad had offered me to work with him as his account manager at the time. I did have a great job in the bank, which I absolutely loved. But the commute was about an hour and 30 minutes each way.
Wow.
Yeah. And some mornings it could even be 2 hours. So it was very tiring, obviously, going for 2 hours commute, then working for 8 hours and taking an hour and a half home. It was just a long day. So yeah, my dad then offered me obviously a great salary and a 5 minute commute. We literally work 5 minutes from home, so it was an absolute no brainer at the time. But I will say one thing, working with your family is so, it can be so rewarding and it can also be such you know, such a tense time because right. obviously, you know, it's different. It's not, you know, you're not working like for somebody, an employer, an employee. You're working father, daughter, mother, daughter, you know, like, so things kind of get said or things get, like, you know, lost and brought home to the house rather than just left in work. So it can be very testing, but at the same time, like I said, very rewarding. Mm-hmm. Our family business is one of the leading uniform suppliers in Ireland. So we are quite busy, and obviously we are very successful in terms of being one of the leading suppliers, especially now with COVID. Like, we are like so busy because obviously we do a lot of the uniforms for, like, you know, obviously I don't know what the health system is called in America, but it's called the HSE here. Mm-hmm. So like we would supply them with a lot of uniforms and obviously PPE and stuff like that. So wow. It's just been a year for us. So it's just been crazy. But yeah, so my dad had started the business when he was about 20, so he's 60 now, and so he is a fountain of knowledge regarding the world of clothing and manufacturing and distribution. So he's most definitely taught me a few things down the line. But I do think my advice for anybody is to always take any advice you can get from your elders or your family who are in the business. It took me a lot of, you know, it took me a long time to kind of realize that. I think only in the last year I've really kind of took my parents' advice on this on board, because when I first started working here, I thought I knew it all and I thought I was going to show them how to do things. And, you know, you get kind of, I got cocky because I was coming out of college and I was after working in the bank, and I thought, you know, oh, I can teach you more about the world than you can me. But I've learned so much. It's crazy from my parents and working with them. And as much as I hate to admit that, I hope they won't be thinking. But yeah. But yeah, like, I mean, the thing is, I used to always want to achieve everything off my own back. But when the help is there, I think you need to take it with two hands, because the truth is your parents or anyone older than you is much wiser than you, no matter what you think is important. You need to utilize their knowledge and skills. So I feel over obviously the last 3 years, I've definitely been able to take a lot from my parents and from this business in terms of obviously manufacturing and contacts and stuff like that.
Absolutely. I think that's such great advice. And I think you nailed it when you said, you know, I think it's a go-getter mentality. You want to do things on your own and you want to show that, you know, you were the one that was able to do these things. But it's true. You know, you go farther so much quicker with the help of others.
Of course. Of course.
So you've started a few successful businesses so far, which is great. You know, most people can only say they've started one. You've started multiple. So can you walk us through your career journey up to today in terms of the things that you've launched and sort of the industries that you've stayed within?
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, I did begin in retail and I moved my way up from a sales assistant to a supervisor role and then a manager. So the shop I was a manager in, it actually went into liquidation and closed down. So I was actually left unemployed. which was a bit of a nightmare. So I ended up looking for a new job, and then I finally got one working in the bank in outbound sales. So I was a sales assistant there, kind of cold calling. So I was in the financial industry, which I absolutely loved, like working there. I thought it was such a great job to have. But as I mentioned earlier on as well, again, the commute and the salary wasn't ideal. Right. However, I did move up then quickly, like to a credit underwriting position, which was a huge kind of step up from being an outbound sales assistant. And I absolutely loved that. But I thought it was like a very tough job because you were in charge of approving people's credit and their loan applications, you know. So like some people wanted loans for, you know, to pay off debts and stuff like that. So you were in charge of all that. So that I found that a little bit testing because obviously, you know, it's a lot of responsibility whether or not somebody gets, you know, a loan right. or a credit application, and it's on your back, you know. And then if they faulted on that, it's also on your head, you know. So it was one of them jobs where it was kind of always, you know, you didn't know what you were going to get with it. But I did love that, and I have to say it was one of my favorite jobs over the years. But like I said, yeah, my dad did offer me a better salary, a shorter commute to work, and it also gave me the advantage and opportunity to start my own business, because my parents have their own warehouse, their own shop. You know, I had very little overheads. I had the opportunity to work there, learn the business from them in terms of manufacturing, you know, right. packaging, all about buying in, import and export and all that stuff. So I got to learn all that while starting up my own business, which is Love Kimberly. As you know, it's an online women's boutique. We sell like women's formal dresses, going out clothes. It's just very high street and very formal, but of course at a good price. So yeah, that's when Love Kimberly began. It began in 2018, and it was an online boutique, and it started through Instagram, would you believe, just selling through DM. So like I would post up pictures. It was kind of just a hobby at the start, you know. I'd gotten a good contact from my parents who had really good clothing and very fashionable clothing. So I said, look, I would love to start a business relationship with you, and, you know, let's see how we can pursue this business relationship over the years. So yeah, firstly, I was buying 5 or 6 pieces at a time, you know, and putting them up on Instagram and saying the price, what they were. Then people would DM me. I would organize to send them out shipping. They'd pay me through PayPal. It was very, very basic at the start, all the while still working full time for my parents, you know. Right. But yeah, so that was in 2018, and then it ended up getting very busy. So I decided to evolve and make it like evolve onto a larger kind of scale, I suppose. So I got a website designed and made as the customer base was just growing, you know. So in 2019, we launched our website, and that was crazy and was just so fun, and it just made life so much easier because, you know, sometimes Instagram is so crazy. I'm sure you know yourself from DMs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like trying to just organize anything through Instagram was kind of a nightmare. So the website really helped me and just kind of made us look more professional, I suppose, and a lot more business savvy. So yeah, that was crazy. Like I said, we launched that in 2019, and then yeah, we were crazy for a year or so, and then COVID came. So we decided to launch Love Kimberly's Cosmetics, because in 2019 we had looked at the cosmetic side of things, but you know, it was just something that I was kind of half foot in the door, half foot out the door, if you get me.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it, but I didn't really have the push to do it. I was so happy, like, why fix what's broken? We were already doing so well with the clothing. There was no need to start another business, you know. I was secure in what I was doing. I didn't really want to take the risk, which was something that I should have done, because obviously, like being an entrepreneur, I do feel you need to take a lot of risks in life in order to get where you need to be. So yeah, in 2020, then we decided to launch Love Kimberly Cosmetics. Obviously with COVID and stuff like that, I just thought it was the push I needed. So I launched that in 2020. And yeah, that's kind of been, it's been crazy for the last 12 months or so, or 11 months or so, should I say. But yeah, it's 2020. It was the year of many crazy things. So I said, feck it, we'll throw something into the mix. So yeah, I've got two companies myself, and then one family business. So I'm thriving off them at the present moment.
I think it's so funny because I've spoken to a few entrepreneurs over the course of the last year who have sort of said the same thing. They gave themselves, you know, time to be upset, right? It's like, okay, COVID's happening. My entire business is, you know, we don't know what's happening. We're living in the land of uncertainty right now. So they almost gave themselves a period of time to be upset, right? Where it's like, okay, I'm going to give myself a week to be really, really upset and depressed about this. I'll cry it out, but then I got to get it together. And now I got to see what's next. And just like with you, so many of them were forced to step out of their comfort zone because of COVID and launch something that they've either been trying to launch and just needed that extra push. Yeah. So I'm curious about, you know, as far as COVID sort of propelling you to launch the cosmetics line, I imagine you had in your head some products that you were thinking of launching and some things that you were possibly working on. And then this, of course, you know, gave you that extra push. But what are, you know, what's the first product? What are some things that, you know, our listeners can expect to see in the future? What's sort of your growth trajectory there?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, unfortunately, we were hit with the effects of COVID in December 2019. And ultimately, this is the whole reason why we launched Love Kimberly Cosmetics, because our warehouses and suppliers overseas in China were the first to be affected with COVID back in December. So mm-hmm. when we came back from Christmas in January 2020, we were finding it so hard to get stock in for Love Kimberly, which was the dresses. So it was so impossible to fulfill the orders that we had coming in. And then obviously China had a Chinese New Year, which is actually a long period of time that runs until the end of January. So nobody was working. We had very low stock. You know, they weren't returned to work until the Chinese New Year was finished. And then obviously because of COVID, they didn't return to work at all until March. So that forced me to take Love Kimberly offline, like our website offline, because we just weren't able to fulfill the orders. Right. So then they said, like, they had let us know that they would be coming back to work in March. So I was like, great, you know, January to March, let's work on, you know, a few other things that we need to push out, like obviously Love Kimberly Cosmetics. We had a few other projects under our belt that we wanted to get done. So like you said, I didn't take a week to cry. Well, like, I wasn't really crying. I used the 2 months from, well, the 3 months from January to March to kind of get what I had to get done off my to-do list.
Right.
But yeah, then in March, they had emailed me to say that they were back in work. I was so happy. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to, you know, get back on the horse in terms of the clothing side of things. But just as they had emailed, say, we're back in work next week, like, you know, let's reconnect, let's get our orders flying, so and so, our Irish government went into lockdown. They put us, our country, into lockdown for wow. 6 weeks, for preliminary 6 weeks. So that was restaurants closed, pubs closed, nightclubs closed, everything closed. So nobody was buying going out clothes, which is what we were specializing in.
Right.
There was a total downfall in, like, you know, sales. Nobody wanted to buy going out clothes, which is understandable because where were they wearing them to? You weren't allowed to leave your house. You weren't allowed to go like 5 kilometers more from your home or you'd be fined. It was a nightmare. So I said to myself, okay, look, this, we just kind of have to push on with our new project, which is obviously Love Kimberly Cosmetics. And yeah, our first product, which it launches actually in December of this, the 1st of December of this year. So it is a luxurious tanning mousse and it's called Naked Glow. So it's absolutely amazing and it comes in 3 shades and it took me the guts of 12 months to make this, obviously from the formula to the packaging. And it was absolutely, yeah, it was crazy. But a good thing about it was I kind of went into the project already having a couple of months from 2019 experience in terms of like my suppliers for, you know, making the formula and my suppliers for the packaging and stuff like that. So yeah, literally 2020 gave me the kick in the bum that I needed to do what I wanted to always do. And that was obviously bring out a tanning product that I believed in, because tanning has been in my life since I'm 16. So I'm very passionate about it. And it's a product that I'm actually more passionate about than fashion, because fashion is so fast. You know, there's 10 new styles every day. So that's like, well, my supplier was sending me like catalogs of 10 new styles every day, which is 70 styles a week. And I just wanted to keep putting out there and being this, like, you know, the problem with me was I wanted to be ahead of everybody else. Like, I wanted to have we did have a lot of unique styles to other boutiques in Ireland, you know, and I wanted to constantly be ahead of the game, be one step ahead and always have the kind of uniquer kind of products. But it was so fast that I was putting too much out there, you know, I was putting too many products out there and it was getting on top of me and I was having to update the website every single day. And, you know, I just didn't do it like in the correct manner. I was doing it well, but just at a too fast a pace, you know?
Right,
so with
right.
the with the tan, like it's just, it's one product. Obviously, it's your, that's your anchor product, but you can bring out a couple of complementary products alongside it, which we will do in 2021. But yeah, I've loved working on this product. It's been so tedious and so testing, but I've loved every step of it, you know?
Is there anything, because I'm so curious about this, is there anything you can share about the process behind, you know, generating the formula? Obviously, you don't have to get too into the nitty gritty because we know there are numerous copycats out there and we don't want to make their job easier. But yeah. is there anything you can share about the background process about creating yeah. it and then also like the packaging and things like that too?
Of course. Yeah. So basically, with the formula, you see, what happened to me was I was approached by a company to buy their formula back in the end of 2019, I think it was. They wanted me to, you know, buy their formula and basically change it up and rebrand it under my own brand and do what I wanted with it. But they were looking for a large sum of money for a formula that they didn't have a patent on. So they didn't own the rights to it. And, you know, they could have sold it to me for that large sum of money. They could have sold it to you for that large sum of money. Nobody actually owned the rights to it. So, I mean, it was too much money. We had a couple of meetings back and forth. And I said, you know what? No, I'm actually going to go and invest probably half of what they were looking for into this project and do it myself. So what I done then was just got a couple of tans that I absolutely loved and a couple of tans that I absolutely hated and sat down and looked at what each one had and what we would like to do differently. And, you know, also then looked at my skin type and what I found, you know, worked well with my skin type and, you know, other people's skin types and stuff like that. So it's just kind of a total market research project.
Right.
Then it was just kind of finding the manufacturer. You know, I had a couple of contacts, had a couple of meetings. Of course, everything was done over Skype because it's COVID-19. Can't go to any, you know, factories, can't go to any laboratories, nothing like that. So we done a couple of meetings. We got a couple of samples. I sent out the ingredients list that I wanted. I got the manufacturer's feedback on what they thought would work well. You know, some of the ingredients I wanted, I was told that they actually wouldn't work well. You know, they wouldn't emulsify well together and it just wouldn't be what I wanted. So, yeah, I basically then, yeah, had a couple of meetings, got a couple of samples, went back and forth with the samples, you know, tested them, vigorous testing on my skin, on a couple of other people's skins that I knew. So obviously I have very dry skin. I had tried it on oily skin. I had tried it on skin that was prone to break out. I tried it on older skin, so my mom's skin. So I'd done a lot of testing on a lot of different skin types in Ireland, because basically the whole stigma I wanted to try and break was that, you know, I do see a lot of brands using a lot of already sallow skin people. Women, you know, putting this tan on and it making it look so brown. And, you know, I'm sure me and you are different. You have different skin to me. You have sallow skin. You've got that lovely Portuguese skin. So tan on your skin will be absolutely totally different to mine. And I feel like right. in Ireland, there is a stigma around that. They're using, like, you know, a lot of people that have got sallow skin and putting this tan on. And when you go to buy it as a consumer, you think, oh my God, it's going to look like that on my skin, when it's not. So basically right. I was producing this tan to suit my freckly pale Irish skin, which 90% of the country have, you know.
Right.
But also the good thing about the tan is that if it looks really good on really pale, pasty, white skin, it's going to look beautiful on sallow skin. So that was the whole idea.
Yes.
So yeah, I basically just had to go back and forth. And do you know what? That was the worst, because one change, you know, I wanted to add an ingredient that would make the product more hydrating. You know, that then had to go back and be processed, and, you know, a lot of testing had to be done. And then it took nearly 3 or 4 weeks for the sample to come back to me. And then I had to test the sample out again on a couple of different skin types. And it was a long, long process, but we got there in the end. But like that, it was one that, again, I'm the type of person that wants everything done within a day.
Right.
And another thing is, it was so stressful because I feel like I would have been overseas for this whole year making this product rather than sitting at home trying to email and Skype. So I found that the most typical kind of part of things, you know.
Oh yes.
But yeah, same with packaging. I only put up a video on Instagram the other day about how, like, you know, even to change the likes, I remember I got the packaging all made and it was perfect. I was so happy with it. It was great. And then I realized that I hadn't put, obviously you have to put like a batch number on the, like, wherever you want to put the batch number, you just have to have it on. It has to be, reason why is because if anything goes wrong, you can recall a batch number But please God, obviously nothing will go wrong, but it's just something that needs to be done in terms of packaging regulations. So they had to be all sent back to do to the manufacturer to be they had to be sent back to get the batch number put on. But that nearly sent us out 2 weeks, do you know what I mean? It's wow. just crazy. It's not something that takes, you know, 1 or 2 days. It was taking nearly one change was taking the guts of nearly a week and a half. So like our launch date has been pushed and pushed and pushed, but finally we are launching on December 1st. I cannot wait.
That is amazing. And I'm so excited for it, because a huge push with me and my friends is, you know, there are some that are still going into the tanning beds like twice a week. And it's like, that is just so awful. But, you know, just hearing you talk about it and seeing you share so much on social media about the process, I think that that's a huge, huge value add for our listeners and for your followers as well. I'm just imagining, and this probably didn't even happen, but I know I'm just imagining that you have all these tan swatches on your arm trying to figure out what works best.
I was constantly opening tans. I'm disaster as well. I'm very klutzy. So like I was opening tans and I was spilling it on my hand, and then I was wiping it off. And then the next day I was making up a big spillage kind of thing because I hadn't wiped it off correct. So I was like, my hand looked like, I don't know what. It was terrible. But yeah, it is. It, you know what? It's crazy because I have to test like I have 3 shades that are launching now in December. So we've got Sunkissed Skin, Golden Glow and Bronze Babe. So obviously I had to test all 3 of them. But like for me to test them, I need to put them on my skin, let them develop. Leave them for a couple of days, see what the wear off is, see how it go, you know, see what way like it washes up, everything like that. But I had to do that with 3 shades each time I got a sample. So you can imagine the back and forth of that was just, it was so crazy. But again, like I said, I'm so happy to have gotten it all done, like finalize my samples, finalize my product, and just have them you know, en route to me now. I have the final product here in my hand and be able to share with everybody because I love it so much.
That's amazing. I love the process and thank you for walking through that. Where can our listeners learn more about the product? So what website can we go to? Is there like a newsletter we can sign up for?
Yeah, so like our website is actually launching on the 30th of December, and then obviously the products go on sale on the 1st of December. Sorry, 30th of November, my apologies. And then the products go on sale on the 1st of December. So our website is called www.nakedglow.ie. We also have an Instagram account, which is nakedglow _.ie, or not .ie, just _.ie. But we also have an app on the App Store. So that's called Love Kimberly. And you can download it on Google Play and the Apple Store. And that has basically everything you need to know about the product. You know, we've got a PDF on there all about why you should choose Naked Glow, you know, ingredient spotlights, just everything under the one roof. So our Love Kimberly app is like a hub for basically our website, our social media accounts, and anything you need to know about Naked Glow or Love Kimberly. So yeah, that's pretty much where you'll find all of that.
Fantastic. And I know hearing you talk about the back and forth between really trying to get this formula nailed down and the packaging, I feel like obviously it's incredibly time consuming. And I think as listeners, sometimes we do hear about, you know, the positive sides of being an entrepreneur, right? You get to make your own money and run your own business, but it's not easy, right? Or else everybody would do it. So what are some traits that you think make a great entrepreneur?
You know, I think it's a combination of tools and traits. I think anybody can be an entrepreneur, but not everybody will succeed because it is a lifetime commitment. You need to learn from your mistakes. You need to take something positive from your mistakes. You know, you need to take something good from every situation. I do think it's quite challenging. So you need to be strong-headed because there are many types of entrepreneurs with different personalities that I've seen across the board in different industries. You know, it's about using your own traits and your own knowledge and life tools to your advantage, as well as incorporating basic entrepreneurial skills such as risk taking, which I mentioned earlier on. You know, I wish I had took the risk of, you know, doing the tan sooner, because then I would have had it for this year, which, you know, like I said, this year we faced the fact that we had no sales in clothing. But, you know, what was the growing industry? It was skincare and makeup this year. You know, that was something that didn't go out of fashion, no matter what the economic state was of the world. People were still buying their skincare. They were still buying beauty products. So again, risk taking was one thing that I wish I had been doing sooner. Consistency, you know, being consistent with your product and your brand, I think that's something you definitely need to incorporate in your entrepreneurial skills. Persistence, this is definitely something you have to have, because for, you know, 100 no's, which you will get, you'll get 100 no's, there might be only one yes for every 100 no's there is. So you need to just keep working for the yes, but also be realistic with your goals and be realistic with your time management, you know, and just work hard and be yourself.
Amazing. Amazing. I love that. I want to switch gears now to social media. So I'm not sure, you know, how the social media world is in Ireland, but I know here in the US, it's a big point of contention, right? Where you have so much mental health issue tied to the use of social media or the lack of use of social media. But you've been really able, you know, been able to dive into your persona on social media and share so much of yourself and use it to help sell and market your product, which is what I think is the most positive side of social media, that small business owners have been able to thrive due to, you know, sharing a bit of themselves and sharing their products. So what's your advice for young women who are trying to use social media as a marketing lane, but maybe are hesitating to share, you know, a part of their journey?
Yeah, so I think social media for me, like, you know, I think it's all about being yourself and being honest and not to be fake, because I just don't think that sits well with a lot of people on social media. I hate the word influencer and blogger, and a lot of people would refer to me as an influencer or a blogger here in Ireland, but I would never refer to myself as that. It's all about, you know, like I said, being yourself, putting yourself out there. You know, if you want to use your social media to build your brand, you need to put yourself out there. You know, you need to be out there on your stories, talking about it, posting 3 to 4 times daily, not shoving it in people's faces, but you need to be active on social media. You know, I only set up Twitter like yesterday because I had read a book about, I read this book called How to Be an Overnight Success, by a lady called Maria Hastafanis, and she owns Rodeo Skincare, which is a huge skincare company. I don't know if it is quite big over in actually the US. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but it is definitely, it's a growing skincare company. But she had set up Twitter, and she had said in the book that it's the biggest thing for her in terms of social media. Whereas I feel that Instagram is definitely the biggest kind of social media platform to use.
Oh, wow.
So I've set up a Twitter last night. I don't know how to use it, but I've set it up anyway. And I'm going to go on there and tweet as much as possible. But it's about just kind of being consistent right across your platform. And you'd see from my Instagram, I post a lot about Naked Glow, but I still post a lot about my, like, you know, my life and like how, like, some days I might post about when I'm in the warehouse and what I'm doing, but I keep it real. I don't want to be fake on Instagram. And I think that's what gets you further than being fake and, you know, supporting stuff that you're not really interested in. Like, be on there, be supportive of what's interesting to you. Don't be fake and, you know, don't be promoting stuff that's like, I see people every day that are promoting, like, you know, 3 or 4 of the same items in terms of teat whitening companies and stuff like that. And I just think, you know, it's just not real. And I automatically unfollow people because I feel like it's just people are there to, you know, to try and, I don't know, people are there and they just annoy me on social media. I think,
yes,
be real and just use your Instagram accordingly, like the way you want to portray yourself on Instagram is what the way
absolutely
I put it. And I don't use Facebook, so I couldn't give you any advice on Facebook, but Instagram, I think, and Twitter are the big ones for social media in terms of marketing your brand or yourself.
I think that's great advice, and I'm very much, I feel the same exact way. Just be genuine. And I got someone gave me advice, and I've shared this before on other episodes, but years ago, someone gave me advice when I first started Femme Radio, and they were like, oh, make sure Femme Radio has its own identity. Don't just promote yourself, because people will see that and will think that you're just trying to promote your own personal page. And from that point forward, I was like, oh, you know, I can't share anything about myself then, because I don't want people thinking that I'm trying to self-promote. There was zero growth on my Instagram page, zero growth. And then I finally started sharing stories about myself and reasons why I started the podcast and what my passion was behind this whole brand. And suddenly it was like, boom, 500 followers within like 2 months.
Exactly. Because of your personality. And I think brands need to have a personality. And that's the book I read, How to Be an Overnight Success. She says that you need to have a personality behind a brand, especially, You know, it's what people buy into. It's what people watch for. People don't want to see product photos all the time. They want to see, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. Like, how are you doing it? Like, how did you come up with the packaging? How did you come up with, you know, how did you package that? Or how did you do this? Like, I love to share behind the scenes of like what we're doing or how we got to where we are, because I think people are more interested in that sometimes than just seeing product pictures all the time. And it's so important that your brand has a personality and it's not just another brand on the market, you know?
Yes, you're so right about that. You're so right about that. So I ask the same three questions, more so the same one question really, to each of the guests that I feature on Femme Radio. And the first is, who embodies the word femme to you? And we use that word to describe a trailblazer, a role model, a mentor. It can be a personal, someone you know personally, or a celebrity. And it also can be male or female. So who would be that person to you?
You know, I mean, there's so many people that would inspire me. But the person that would embody the word femme for me would definitely, I've already mentioned it, would be Maria Hastafanis. And she has founded, obviously, the groundbreaking skincare group, Rodial. And she's done that from her back room in her house. She identified a niche in the market for, you know, beauty products that target specific skin concerns. And then she just grew globally with that. She has a book out at the moment that I just have mentioned that I've read. And it's called How to Be an Overnight Success. But it basically goes through how it took her 10 years to become an overnight success. All the hardships she faced, you know, how she went from working in finance to growing her brand globally as a beauty brand and a skincare brand. And how she has two companies, one for like, you know, one that's less premium, I suppose. It's called Nip and Fab as well. So she's actually got two brands out there at the moment. And she's just, you know, she's worked with like Kylie Jenner, you know, Kim Kardashian. She's worked with crazy amounts of celebrities and she's just so down to earth. And I mean, if I could recommend any of your listeners who, you know, is stuck in a place at the moment, they really want to kind of, you know, break out of where they are in their current job or they have ideas in their heads, they need to read this book. She gives like, you know, skills and details at the end of each chapter and her insights. And it's just, honestly, it's amazing. And she's such an amazing person. I've definitely learned so much from her.
I'm always looking for things to read. I'm such a bad reader and I'm trying to get better at it because I read an article once that told me that most of the successful entrepreneurs have just like a few things in common. And, you know, one of them is they all read. So I'm like, all right, reading is one thing I'm missing right now.
No, honestly, the book is so good. And it also opens your eyes as well, because, you know, she went into this industry, the beauty industry, with no background in beauty, you know, like, and I feel like I can relate to her a lot because I have no background really in the kind of beauty industry. I never worked in it. I never, you know, studied in it. At the moment, I'm studying an online course in skincare. You know, because I do feel that Love Kimberly Cosmetics will go down the line of skincare one day. You know, beauty in terms of makeup isn't really my thing. It's not something I'm interested in. I never wear makeup, so I can't imagine ever bringing out something like that. Because again, like I said to you before, I have to be 100% passionate about something before I, you know, delve into it. But yes, she's definitely someone I can relate to. I got her book last year before I start, when I was doing the clothing, and I never read it because I was like, this won't apply to me. You know, she's doing beauty. I'm not doing that. She's doing skincare. I'm not doing that. So I'm not reading it. And then I started to read it and I read it within 2 days when I'd actually finalized my products for Naked Glow. And I just realized, wow, how I can relate to her so much. But again, she does talk a lot about entrepreneurial skills and stuff like that, and how she didn't have any of them, and how she hired people who did have the skills that she didn't have, and you know how you can actually grow globally with having no background in or no study, like in terms of, you know, college courses in where you want to go. So it's definitely worth the read.
It all just goes back to the work ethic, right? If you have that hustle, you know, you can achieve so much.
100%. And, you know, it's an easy read as well. So, I mean, you will definitely pick it up and read it and you won't put it down. So, I mean, yeah, she's the girl that embodies the word femme for me anyway.
Amazing. And where can our listeners, I know you mentioned a little bit before on where we could purchase your products, but where can our listeners follow you on social media and purchase your products? We'll just tie everything back together again.
Yeah. So my name on social media is just Kimberly Brophy. So you can follow me on there. Like I said already, we've got the app Love Kimberly. I do have a link in my bio for all my kind of like areas. So like on the App Store, Google Play, my two websites, which I have is lovekimberly.ie and nakedglow.ie. And yeah, our app. So all that will be found under my username, which is just Kimberly Brophy with two Y's on the Brophy.
I feel like we'll have to do a side conversation about you and the creation of your app, because I remember when you launched it, I was like, girl, this is amazing.
Yeah, that app, you know, another thing, that was something I done in 2019. It was a little bit tedious, but it's ever since I made it, I've just been so happy. It's just so easy to, you know, navigate and make changes on. It's actually a lot easier than a website as well, which is crazy. Wow. Because you didn't expect the app to be, you know, more work, but no, it's great. I love the app. So anybody listening, download my app.
Do you have any last pieces of advice for our listeners?
You know, I feel like I've already covered this before, but like I said, just be yourself and take risks, you know, step out of your comfort zone. I wasn't going to step out of my comfort zone until COVID-19 came and you gave me the kick up the bum that I needed. Because And the thing is, like, if COVID-19 hadn't ever came, would I have ever stepped out of my comfort zone? I don't know if I would have. So wow. It is. It's about risk taking, you know, just follow your dreams, I suppose.
I love that. I love that. And I think I would be in the wrong if I didn't give a huge shout out and a thank you to Rachel for referring me to you. She DM'd me a year ago and was like, you have to talk to this girl, Kimberly Brophy.
She was over in Ireland recently and we actually hung out quite a bit. She's such a lovely, lovely girl. And yeah, I'm so grateful that she's put us on to each other. We've been in contact now for over a year. It doesn't even feel like that long. But yeah, no, Rachel's a diamond. So shout out to Rachel, definitely.
Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us and chatting with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much.